Hey everybody, welcome to Goots, the Goots cast. What the fuck? Hey, it's been a while. I don't think we've done this since January 1st, but we're back with a huge day. It's NXT Vengeance Day, and Cody Rhodes has abandoned Tony Khan and AEW to become Dashing Cody Rhodes once again.
You know, yeah, let's start off with that big news. Cody Rhodes and Brandi Rhodes left AEW as of now, which is like 10 p.m. Eastern time.
It's 11. Oh, yeah, it is 10. Sorry.
Yeah, the yeah, or like after 10 p.m. Eastern time on the 15th of February. He still technically hasn't signed with WWE yet. So technically,
as far as we know. Impact. As far as we know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's been in Impact before, him and Brandi.
Oh, no, I know. Yeah, it was terrible.
So, yeah, he could go back. You know what? I know you didn't watch this, but you should, because today, in honor of them leaving, I watched that amazing segment. Brandi's last ever time appearing on AEW was her just getting dunked on by the audience and Dan Lambert. It's so good. You have to watch
it. Let's talk about that real quick. So I guess what happened, and this might have been the straw that broke the camel's back, is that segment lost 300,000 viewers and they never came back, which is why the ratings, if you remember, they had been building up MJF to CM Punk and the ratings were the lowest it's been in a while.
Yeah.
And I said to you, oh, I guess CM Punk's not a fucking draw, but everyone tuned out for that Brandi segment and never returned. And apparently Tony Khan said that can't happen again. And Cody was like, it's only smoke and mirrors. Whoa. And he like had that's
oh, you mean like Tony Khan said, like, we can't put her back on TV ever again,
or like you have to readjust, or like basically that was the reason why the ratings, apparently that was the reason why that show got so low ratings, because I was wondering.
No, it did. I remember that segment. I remember it, there was like two talking segments right in a row, and that was one of them, and it just killed the ratings, I remember. And they just,
yeah, because I remember like they've been, you mean you would think a CM Punk in a 40-minute match would be really old. And it's like, why did that show do so bad? And I thought it was Cody, CM Punk's fault. It's her fault. Like, she's, yeah. Dude, she literally makes you just want to stop watching TV.
But that's why that segment is so good, because it's just people dunking on her. Like,
I know,
go check it out. It's actually, I like that segment a lot,
but it's time to go. But I think this is crazy news for AEW. I think it's bad optics because he's one of the founders. He was basically supposed to be like their Ric Flair or some shit, and now he's gone. It's not even like, is it 3 years? Yeah, it just hit 3 years, so it's not even like, dude, like, this would be shocking though if this happened 5 years from now. Well, I mean, like, in 5-6 years rather than just now. But the fact that it happened so fast, I think, is bad optics. But I do think it's a case of Tony now calling more of the shots and Cody being like, well, if I'm going to be someone's fucking meat puppet, I'll go be Vince's, you know?
And I think AEW, especially Tony Khan, at this point has to be a bit... Okay, so in the past few months... Big Swole is a mutually decided to leave. Mm-hmm. Leo Rush also mutually decided to leave. He's gone too now. And now Brandi and Cody. So it's, I'm not saying like there's definitely proof of what Big Swole was saying, but that's at least three black talent that have left in just a short couple of months.
Yeah.
And this kind of, you know, adds fuel to the flame of what Big Swole was talking about, that maybe AEW is not, it doesn't provide black entertainers.
Well, I mean,
what they want. Except that's possible. That's possible.
Brandy's just the pits. I mean, they did let Brandi, hang herself on TV constantly. Like, they let her do what she wants. And she basically shit the bed.
She was the brand chief officer or whatever, branding officer or whatever that was. Whatever her bullshit title was.
I do think, though, Cody and WWE, I think we'll get some good... I think it'll be interesting. I think he's definitely going to be WWE champion.
Yeah. I think he's, I feel like he's 100% going to be at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And because, especially since two nights, who do you put him up against?
I think Seth.
Seth Rollins. That's a good choice. Seth Rollins is a good choice. I was thinking AJ Styles, because right now, I don't know.
No, I want AJ Styles Edge.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if they were going to do that, but if they are, that's good. Yeah.
No,
Seth Rollins would be a great pick.
This is what I'm thinking.
Wait, who? Okay.
I don't think Brock should win Elimination Chamber. I think Roman Reigns should fuck him and Seth wins. And that builds up more fever for Roman Brock. I think if you didn't get Cody, you can have Brock win. I don't think Brock should win.
Wait, so you're saying Seth should win the title from Lashley?
Elimination Chamber. He should be the one to walk out the title. And then on Monday Night Raw, or no, because Monday Night Raw, Cody walks out and Adam Pearce says at WrestleMania, Cody agreed to come only if he could get a title shot at WrestleMania. Seth Rollins, your first title offense will be at Mania against Cody, dashing Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, I remember. So like,
somebody else had a great story that Cody comes back to finish off Randy Orton.
Yeah, that's a good one too. I can see that happening.
And now if Randy was in the chamber, I would let Randy win and have Cody versus Randy. That would be a very good match, especially if you have – I mean, you're going to have Cody pin him clean. And I guess you could do that, but I think having him beat Seth the title and then building to Cody Randy at, like, SummerSlam, I think would be good.
Yeah, I'm going to say – so this Friday, mm-hmm. SmackDown is taped. Saturday is Elimination Chamber in Saudi Arabia. I really doubt they're going to fly them both out there, right? Just because of, like, it's Saudi Arabia, like, what kind of reaction you're going to get, right?
Yeah, I would save it for Raw, but I would definitely have him. The only reason.
You could drop hints at Elimination Chamber so that people tune in on Monday.
Yeah.
You know, they could be like, Adam Pearce could be like, oh, I just signed somebody. Did I do that? You know, like, and everyone's like, oh,
that is the catchphrase. Did I do that? 1 second. Right, Brooke. So yeah, I definitely you do hits. You can even have Roman Reigns cut a promo and be like, I don't have nightmares anymore. I've conquered all my nightmares. And like little shit like that, dropping hints, and or Randy Orton being like, I solidified my legacy, like all these like little like references to like his past shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm excited. This is great news. I like it.
I think it's going to shake things up for both companies, and we need this. And I think it's woken up a lot of fans. I think a lot of these – at the beginning of the day, a lot of these nerds, especially like JD from New York, were like, oh, it's a work. And now they're like, oh, Cody's selfish, or there's trouble in AEW. And, you know, it's like every – you know, it's all – it's going to be fun to watch. What?
Cody's selfish.
Yeah, everyone's saying Cody's selfish, or they didn't really need Cody. This whole narrative now that they didn't need Cody, bro, if it wasn't for Cody, there'd be no AEW.
Exactly.
He came up with this whole idea. If All Out was All In, was it All In?
Yeah, All In.
The original. They should have kept that title. If All In wasn't a huge success, I don't think Tony Khan would have said, all right, let's fucking invest in this.
I think they do still have a pay-per-view called All In, don't they?
No, they call it All Out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This was 100% Cody. This was 100% him. So everyone, Cody, you know, you can say like, I thought Cody was kind of like whatever myself, but I was never into any of those four guys except for Kenny occasionally. So like, but like, I give him 100% credit. Doesn't matter how good or bad he was in the ring. This was his baby. So.
Well, I've always been a Cody Rhodes fan. I said it from the beginning that he was going to – I made a bet with somebody, another bet I had won, actually, that they were saying to me how – I forgot what they were saying Ted DiBiase Jr. was going to reach the top, and I actually said Cody Rhodes – this is back when they were in Legacy, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, Cody Rhodes, I feel like this guy – this they had already split up. Legacy had already broken up, and I said – I think Cody Rhodes is going to be like somebody who's going to change the business. And I legit said that. And they were like, are you fucking stupid? And I was like, I'll make a bet with you. I'll bet you in 8 years, he's going to be either a champion or he's doing something somewhere else. He's where he's making noise, like whether it be in Japan or Ring of Honor, he's a champion there. And he's like a big time thing. And I fucking won that bet too. So
yeah. And look, I think if Cody Rhodes was just like, yeah, I'm fine being Stardust. I'll be Stardust for us. Like Dolph Ziggler is right now. If he was like, I'll just be a loser of this company. It's fine. I don't think you'd ever see CM Punk come back to wrestling.
Before we get into NXT, let's talk about the other person who just got hired. You texted me during the middle of the show. It looks like Quinn McKay, formerly Quinn McKay of Ring of Honor, signed with WWE. She's doing what now?
She's like, I think she's the ring announcer, or I don't know if she's a host, but she's on NXT Level Up.
Okay, NXT Level Up, which is, what is that going to be like?
It's basically 205 Live, but
205 Live.
It's what it became. It's like NXT Main Event, yeah.
Yeah, because it's 205. They call it 205 Live, but they have huge dudes on it. So you can't.
Yeah, so now they just changed the name to NXT Level Up.
Yeah, it's like NXT's main event.
But 205 Live is done. It's done. Mm-hmm.
That's fine. The last 6 months of 205 were guys, people who are not cruiserweights and stuff. It's fine. I saw a picture of it, of her. She got a name change. I think it's like, I forget what it is. It's like,
I don't know. It's something dumb.
They got rid of her fucking bow ties. I was like, thank you. They were like, I bet you WWE, like, we're going to hire you. Get rid of those shitty little bow
ties.
She's
a good hire because you can have her be an interview person. And then when an angle calls her, you can put her in the ring and she won't be a complete disaster.
She can wrestle. She can do backstage interviews. Woman. She can do commentary. I did like her in Ring of Honor. The only thing I couldn't stand were those stupid bow ties.
I don't think they're going to hire her husband, by the way. I think they're done hiring couples.
Yeah, her husband is Drake Dapper, who used to actually be in WWE. He was like one of those, like, we're going to hire these guys and developmental, and then they just like lost, faith in him.
Interest?
Yeah, interest, faith. He's a big dude. He is very tall. When I was watching Ring of Honor, he stood out because he looked like somebody who didn't belong there. And then when I looked him up, that's how I found out he was used to be in development. I was like, oh, that totally makes sense. This guy looks like somebody who should be in WWE, you know?
Yeah.
But if they hire him, I think that would actually be good. But you're right, they probably might not. But good for Quinn McKay as well. I think you guys will like her. She's all right.
She's sexy.
Yeah, she's very – I just couldn't stand those – I know it's just really silly. I just couldn't stand those bow ties, bro.
You just hate women.
I don't know. Bow ties should only be on, like
– Jimmy Olsen in the old Superman cartoons.
Yeah, like little boys or, like, black militants. Like, that's the only people who should be wearing
racist and sexist. What
or old men. Really, really old men. Like the guy from the fucking Six Flags commercials, you know?
Yeah, well, that's true. Now she reminds me of the guy from the Six Flags commercial. Way to ruin Quinn McKay.
Like, just like, not Quinn. It just looks, I was just like, is this her gimmick? She wears a bow tie every, like a different bow tie every time. I was like, God damn. So I just couldn't stand it.
Vince is like, get this bow tie out of my face.
Do you remember when they were saying, like, everyone's out of the contract? Do you remember me saying they should sign her? I was like, they should pick her up.
Yeah.
I was like, was there anything else that happened that we've
No, no. Let's go on to the show, bro.
Let's go on to the show. Speaking of women, the show starts off with Toxic Attraction. We got Mandy Rose sitting at the beach, and she's texting her other Toxic Attraction stablemates, and they're all trying to look sexy, and they're fucking texting back and forth, like, bloop, 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 about the show. It was so, I mean, I get why they did it, because it's supposed to be like Valentine's Day and stuff like that. Interesting way to start the show. We go straight into our first match. It is Pete Dunne versus Tony D'Angelo, who comes out with a car, or some kind of fancy car. It's like a cage match, but there's weapons everywhere, like Impact used to actually do.
Mm-hmm.
There, the cameraman is like he's in the ring with them. And you get so many really close-up shots. Like, they do a fucking superplex, and the camera is like right there. And later on after the match, they'll show you how close the cameraman actually is. It was kind of weird. Pete Dunne hits Bitter End D'Angelo kicks out. D'Angelo kicks his hits his finishing move. Pete Dunne kicks out. Ultimately, Pete Dunne hits a second bitter end for the win. It was all right.
It was okay. I don't know. It was okay. It was. I'll tell you what. I didn't hate this show, but the wrestling was not as good as a year ago.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't like.
It's definitely like, more standard WWE style matches.
Yeah, I don't like these like hardcore matches anymore. I don't know how I liked them when I was younger.
I like the ones that Raven would have on in 2001 and WWE were pretty good. Just like these aren't creative anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I guess they did the thing with the zip tie and like he smashed his fingers in the fucking toolbox.
And... Yeah, it's just like we've seen this all before, and I don't really know the story. And I don't think these two had such an amazing story that they have to be beating the shit out of
each other. No, dude. You know their story revolved around the crowbar. That's why they had crowbars at the very end of the match.
Yeah, no, see,
like, yeah, it was stupid. So this whole thing started because of a crowbar attack. So at the very end of the match, they both have a crowbar, and Pete Dunne is able to like, you know, get the upper end and hit the bitter end. But yeah, it was.
I don't think Pete Dunne's gonna be around in a year.
What did you say?
I don't think Pete Dunne's gonna be in WWE in a year's time. I know. Wow. He just resigned. He just looks out of place. I don't think he's going to be here.
That's interesting.
He'll be in AEW, and everyone will talk about what a game changer he is, and it'll be on Dark a week later.
What a game changer, yeah. Then we get – there's so many, like, backstage videos.
A lot of vignettes.
Oh, my gosh. So many. So this one, Cora Jade is sleeping, and Raquel Gonzalez calls her. It's 5 a.m., and she's like, come on, chica, we gotta start training for the Dusty Classic. And it's a training montage. So you probably don't know what's going on with the storyline, but I'll tell you what's happening. Cora Jade, many, many weeks ago, asked Raquel Gonzalez to be her tag team partner for the Dusty Classic. Mm-hmm. And Raquel said, no, if for me to even be your tag team partner, like she kept asking her. So she said, how about we fight in the ring? And if you can beat me, I'll be your tag team partner. Raquel still beat the crap out of her and won the match, but she was like, all right, by me beating you up, you've proven to me that you want this, so I'll be your tag team partner. Really dumb. It's stupid. This training montage was stupid. Cora's eating a Pop-Tart, and she slaps it out of her hand, like, don't eat Pop-Tarts.
And then But like I work, you have to eat something before you work out. You can't just get someone at 5 a.m. and expect them to work like a fucking animal.
Yeah, yeah. Or if you're going to do this because like, oh, she shouldn't be eating junk food, then you gotta say like, you can't be eating that crap, you know? And then give her like a protein shake. She was just like, there's no eating during training or something like that. It was. This was silly, and it ended with Raquel basically, we're going to do this again tomorrow, and Cora Jade starting to regret asking her to be a tag team partner. Really dumb. We go into Malcolm Bivens and the Diamond Mine, and they are cutting a promo about the Dusty Classic, and MSK also cuts a promo because these two are the tag teams in the finals. I don't know if you probably haven't, because you haven't been watching, but lately – Roderick Strong gets less and less screen time in this stable.
Yeah, he's gonna.
Yeah, he's like usually in the back now. You know,
he'll be joining Kyle O'Reilly and the other guy on Dark pretty soon.
By the way, speaking of Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, where have they been on AEW? I haven't seen Kyle O'Reilly.
Tony Khan got new toys, and Keith Lee, Jay White, and Danhausen, and he forgot
to. Yeah, he got new toys. Yeah, he did.
He got new toys, dude.
There was even a time in Diamond Mine where the Creeds were having a tag team match or something, and Malcolm Bivin and Ivy Now came out, and there was like no Roderick Strong.
Yeah.
He's just getting like pushed back further and further in the back.
They might be saying to him, why don't you, well, we'll keep you around. Let's just be a coach.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason why he has like still his job there, because he's probably a really good coach, and they're just like, why don't you just coach? Just coach.
I don't even know if he coaches. Maybe they're trying to push the coach. It is shocking to me he was the last one left out of Undisputed, out of the Undisputed era. He's the last one left. That's pretty shocking to me. Really.
Yeah.
I really thought he was just going to – I didn't think he'd still be there.
I think it's because he coaches.
Like, does he coach? Like, I don't –
yeah, know that? Yeah. He's like a player coach. He's like – what's his name? Cassius Ohno? Was that his name? Cassius Ohno? Chris Hero's name? I forgot his name. NXT name. Cassius Ohno, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like he was like a player coach. You know, he would wrestle, but then he also was like there for coaching, really. Match number two. Persia Parada and Indy Hartwell versus Gigi Dolin and JC Jane of Toxic Attraction for the NXT Women's Tag Team titles. During this match, Mandy Rose gets caught like cheating, and so she gets thrown out. And then this match is kind of sloppy. There's even a point. Did you see it where JC Jane, she sold like a phantom kick, like nobody kicked her, but she was like, "Ugh."
Yeah, she sucks. I wish they had kept Cora Jane with Priscilla Kelly.
Yeah, Gigi Dolin. Yeah. When they first came out, it was Gigi Dolin and Cora Jade together. In this, like, we're both goth girl gimmick. They said, Cora, we're gonna take you out of this and start walking around with a skateboard. And like, don't ever ride it.
I think they see more in Cora than Priscilla. But Priscilla, JC Jane just looks, she looks goofy. Like, she's trying to be all sexy.
Yeah. I feel bad for both of them, because you know that they're told, like, when Mandy walks out, you just got to stand there and start doing like acting sexy. Like, you have to act sexy. Like, yeah. You know, and they're just like gyrating. Like,
I feel like that's what they don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But Mandy Rose looks great.
Yeah. To be fair, they all look great, I think, you know.
Andrew D. Bros.
Basically, the match ends with Toxic Attraction hitting like a big boot sweep, like high low combo on Indy Hartwell to retain their tag team titles. Not a good match, but I will say Indy Hartwell, she does really good facials. Like, she knows how to sell with her face. I think that's her fucking skill. I didn't like this match.
It was really fast.
Yeah, I guess it was fast. It was short, I guess.
Yeah, it was. It was what it was. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I expected something more though. I don't know what I expected, because it's not like these people are good wrestlers. But you get what
you go. Yeah, Persia Parada. Like, I don't know if I could pick her out of a lineup. You know.
Hmm.
But yeah, we'll talk about. I guess that's it. We're done talking about that.
We're done. Yeah.
Amira Miller and Wendy Chu are walking in the back. They had stolen Tiffany Strand's credit card, and they bought all the shit, and they're friends now. And basically, they robbed somebody, and now that's what made them friends. And Wendy Chu was like, "Hey, Amira, you want to be like my tag team partner for the Dudley Classic?" And she's like, Amira's like, "No, I already got a partner. Sorry." So Wendy Chu goes to Dakota Kai and is like, "Hey, you want to be my tag team partner?" And Dakota Kai is this new gimmick where she like talks to like an invisible person, and Wendy's like, "Oh, okay, all right, talk to me later." Dakota Kai looks like Alexa Bliss's like Harley Quinn character gimmick and Alexa Bliss's like Fiend gimmick like combined.
Yeah,
you know, someone said she looks like Dee Schneider from Twisted Sister. Like, yeah, I don't like this new Dakota Kai. I don't like it.
No, I don't like it either.
Is this your first time seeing Wendy Chu?
Yeah, I don't like either character.
Really? You don't like Wendy Chu? I like Wendy Chu. do you remember who she used to be?
Yeah, she was the creepy old Asian woman, right? The immortal.
Yeah, she was the creepy. She was an ancient Chinese lady. I like, but I think she does as well. You don't like Wendy Chu. Grayson Waller arrives with some cops and Sangha, his bodyguard, and they're gonna confront LA Knight. We go another vignette. It's Briggs and Jensen. They're at a bar and they're talking about Jensen's date and how like it was a friend date, and they're arguing, and all of a sudden they're like, "Let's ask the bartender." And it's like Fallon Haley, you're a bartender here as well. And she's another, she's a wrestler at NXT. They're like, yeah, that's my family's bar. I bartend on the side sometimes. Stupid segment. So dumb. How are you sitting at the bar drinking? You clearly ordered beer there because you have bottles in your hand. And then you just realize who the bartender is and you're like, huh?
This was a really bad segment. Are these two guys wrestlers?
Yeah, they're like the new Trevor Murdoch and Lance Cade.
This was really bad.
Yeah. Fallon Henley, by the way, she's a former AEW person.
Well, she also dated, Jason Rance. So.
Really?
She was associated with him for a while. I don't know if she dated him. Yeah.
That's possible.
She looks great on TV. I'll tell you, the WWE, when they get a hold of you, she looked okay. She looks fucking great.
Oh, you mean when you saw her, you know what? Yeah, I see your point. When she was on AEW, she just looked okay. Yeah.
I thought they hired a professional actress to be, and then I realized it was Tesha Price. I was like, oh fuck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. Yeah. She hasn't really done anything noteworthy in NXT so far, though. She's always been losing. Just so far, when she has a match.
I feel they're gonna build something with this having a bar.
Yeah, they probably will. This is your gimmick now.
That made her work on NXT. During NXT, I like the fact that these guys are at a bar in the middle of the one night a week when the company they're at the bar and she has to work the shift. It's like really like hey, I can't come into NXT tonight. Wow, I gotta work at this bar. Oh, okay,
I gotta work at my family bar. The busiest I'm sure night of the bar. Ecstatic.
Okay,
yeah, the busiest night that any great bar would go through a Tuesday night. All right, so LA Knight's in the ring, and Waller comes out with some cops, and it's like, oh, he's got a restraining order. He touched me. You got to arrest him. They show video clips. Oh, Waller touched him first, so then LA Knight beats him up, and this feud's going to continue. This is a typical WWE segment.
Mm-hmm. I don't care about Grayson Waller. Who's the big guy? Is he a former gender guy?
Yeah, he is. Do you remember Indushir? Remember there was a
two? Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, that's one of the Indushir guys. He was the guy who got in trouble because he posted a picture of Keith Lee winning the NXT.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
He's still there and Keith Lee's gone.
Yeah, they almost fired this guy. They sent him back to India, right? And I thought he was done. I thought they fired him, but they didn't. They just brought him back. And the other, his tag team partner is Veer Mahan on Raw, who hasn't debuted yet. This guy looks like he had a match last week. He looks like Indian Braun Strowman. He looks just like Strowman, but he's got.
That's probably they got rid of Strowman for a week.
Yeah, that's probably why. They were this guy's.
You got the cheaper, dumber version.
He moves like you, and he's going to be way cheaper than you. So, okay. Indy Hartwell and Persia Parada, they're in the back. They're talking about the Dusty Classic that they're going to be in. Dexter Lumis, Indy's husband, shows up, and they walk away. And Persia's feeling lonely, and then Duke Hudson comes, and now they're a couple too now. So they walk away. Everybody's fucking on NXT.
Well, good, because nobody fucks in the main roster. So,
you know what? That's true. Nobody fucks in the main roster, but in NXT, everybody is trying to fuck everybody.
You think they would at least have Reggie and Dana Brooks oh yeah, they're fucking, and they don't even do that.
Yeah,
they would make give them something to do. Those two dopes, you know.
Yeah, even in the beginning of this, Tony D'Angelo is texting Mandy Rose and stuff like that, right? And they have these two, they have Enofe and Malik Blade also, daydreaming about Mandy Rose. Everybody is trying to, fuck everybody in NXT.
You know what I want? I still want Mandy Rose to reveal that this entire time her and Otis have been together and have Otis, demolished someone.
That she's been together with who?
Otis this entire time.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
I still think when she goes back to the main roster, she should be with Otis. Especially they're going to keep Otis a heel.
I can't believe they they fucked that storyline up so bad.
I think if the, I'm going to say this, this is, I think if the crowds had never left, Otis would have been, Otis, 2020 would have been Otis's year. Because I think people, the pop when Mandy and Otis got together at WrestleMania would have been insane. Like, people would have gone nuts.
Yeah.
People were going nuts. The reason why they kept going with that is the crowds were really into it. Once the crowds went away, you just had the fucking nerds in the internet. Otis, when you're running your bank.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that storyline. They just fucked it up so bad.
They could still, they never confirmed that those two broke up. So.
Yeah. Tabasco champion. He is cut. He cuts a promo on Dolph Ziggler. And they made him dye his beard. You notice that? Like they said, take away all that fucking gray. You gotta fucking dye everything.
Yeah, because he looks like an old man. He looks like a skinny little old man.
It looks way better. They made him trim it too. It looks way better. You know.
I think. By the way, I heard he was on Raw last night. I think they're calling his bluff about never going to the main roster. I think he knows like he doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
yeah.
He's gonna try to play ball with them now.
Yeah, he's had a match or two on Main Event, and then last night he was on commentary in a Dolph Ziggler match on Raw. So I gotta watch that. I didn't see it yet. I wonder if they brought him out to any fanfare or if they just like had him in
sitting. I heard he was just sitting there.
Oh, okay. Match number three. This is for the North American title. This is Carmelo Hayes versus Cameron Grimes. Very good match, I thought. This is at the start of the second hour. Back and forth. Ultimately, Carmelo Hayes hits the top rope axe kick on Grimes to retain the title. I like this match. What about you?
Yeah, it was okay. It was all right. I just get like – it's going to sound terrible – I just get like Hit Row, the remix vibes from these two guys. Like, it just feels like they just have the same, they just like transported the gimmick to other people.
Yeah, I think they kind of do that. I see your point.
Yeah.
They don't do anything music related. So, you know.
I know, but I stopped paying attention to NXT when Hit Row became a thing. So,
by the way, they're going to be free agents soon.
Yeah, they're reuniting on some indie show.
Yeah. I think because those guys, because they were on SmackDown for like 2 weeks, they're on like 90-day like no competes, yeah. Right? I think it's officially done. Like,
I think they should go to Impact.
I think that might be done tomorrow.
Yeah, I think they should. I think if I were them, I'm going to Impact, not AEW.
Well, I think they're done tomorrow. I think technically Top
Dollar. I think this weekend they're on an indie show.
Top Dollar could show up on Dynamite tomorrow, you know?
I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. He had the
worst. He should come out. He should come out and be like, I'm Brandi Rhodes replaced.
Dude, he had the worst catchphrase I have ever heard. It sounded cool, but it made no sense. Who better than Top Dollar? And it was not Nada, which is a double negative.
Not Nada is a rap term. I don't know what it means.
It's not nobody.
No, not Nada means... Not Nada, I think it's a Kanye thing or someone. One of those guys.
Oh, is it? Because I was like, I thought he was saying not nobody. If it's not nobody, then it's everybody.
I feel like Hit Row was when Vince decided he was done with Triple H.
Yeah. Yeah. You mean I have to pay all four of these guys? You have to pay all four of them for this one shitty stable? You know, like, that's supposedly why he hates tag team wrestling. He's like, I got to pay four guys for one match.
Hit Row wasn't around that long at all, bro. It like showed up in the summer and was gone by October.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They were on SmackDown for like 2 weeks. They didn't have a single match.
They should just kept them on NXT.
Dude, you know who hasn't had a single match on SmackDown yet?
Who?
Xia Li.
Yeah, doesn't she keep coming out and then it doesn't happen? No, then she fought Naomi.
No, I don't think she had a match. I think she just like saved people. Like she comes out.
I
mean, and
I guess
like,
that's as long as she's on the show.
She's hardly on the show. I think she might be done too soon. It's just not working. All right, we got Io Shirai. She finally found her tag team partner was Kaylee Ray and they start going like they start smashing cups and bottles and shit like that. Zoe Stars comes out, like, what are you guys doing? They smash her cup. She's like, ugh. So they're really hyping up all these women tag teams for the Dusty Classic. And then we're going to go into the men's Dusty Classic Finals, and they do a great video package where they actually have Dusty Rhodes talking about his love of tag
teams. Yes, I saw, yeah. Them.
It really made me go think, like, wow, they're really playing up this Dusty thing. I would love it if they told Cody Rhodes, part of the thing of you coming over is we'll let you fucking reshape NXT in your image.
You know? Well, they really the emphasis on, I know, like, there's emphasis on Dusty every year because of this tournament, but I don't know, man, like, the fucking way that video package was done, it made me feel like they're like, come on, Cody, we love you, family, come on.
Yeah, I really felt that way too, dude. They could, like, Cody Rhodes played a hand in, like, helping AEW get all this momentum in the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why you wouldn't, like, say, oh, he, like, part of the deal of you working with us is you, we want you to fucking use your training school and stuff and fucking do something with NXT. Like, how would you fucking set it up, you know?
Yeah.
I think. So we'll see, I guess. Like, it'd be like, this is what we do. In the middle of the show, Brandi Rhodes has to go out there and cut a 10-minute promo.
we're gonna bring out these 18-year-old girls with no experience and give them a ton of match. Pretend they're good workers.
And everybody has to get a really, really, really long entrance, like super long, and everybody gets two managers at least. Everybody has to have at least two managers. MSK versus the Creed Brothers for the Dusty Cup Finals. There's a point where Julius Creed, like, pushes Wesley off the apron into the announce table, and he just bounces off. It looks brutal. The match ends when Julius hits, like, a sliding clothesline on Nash Carter. The Creeds are now the Dusty Cup winners. This was a very good match, too. I like this match. It was good. I like the Creeds, man. I like the MSK.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. MSK always delivers.
Does this, I kind of feel like... Creed?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but does it feel like they consider MSK now old news, even though, like, technically they're, like, younger than most of the roster, like, because they were Triple H's guys?
I guess. I mean, they got all the way to the finals. Like,
yeah, that's so true.
Something.
I like MSK a lot, though. I hope that they make it on the main roster. I think they could be the new Hardy Boys.
Yeah, and they're. They did this thing with Matt Riddle just a couple of months ago, you know? Yeah,
I remember.
So, I feel like they're still like, hey, we could still use these guys for the thing. What did you feel about the Creeds? Is this your first time seeing them?
Yeah, they're okay.
Yeah. Like when I watched them, I was like, I wonder if Charlie Haas and his brother were supposed to be like this when they were.
I think so.
Yeah. It would have been a great tag team. Then we get a Nikita Lyons vignette.
Yeah, she looked good.
This is your first time seeing her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's wrestled on 205 a few times. Yeah, her gimmick is that her dad used to, like, own, like, a nightclub or something. So, or something like, her dad used to be a roadie. Her dad used to be a roadie. And she used to travel with him. So she's into singing. She's into dancing. She's into that whole, she's basically Hit Row, but, like, The white version, you know? So
like,
yeah. So basically, that's her gimmick. They say she's coming soon, but yeah, she's already wrestled. She's all right. She's really, really big. She's really tall. Then we get Imperium there in the ring. We get a lot of Walter chants. We get a lot of USA chants. They're going after Imperium's got a tag titles. They're like, we're gonna face the Creeds, and Gunther's like, I'm gonna go for the title. And then Solo Sikoa comes out and he challenges Gunther, and that's probably going to be a coming feud. I'm interested in that matchup.
I noticed Gunther really is slimmed down.
Yes. It makes him look older, his face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I think, yeah, that must have been an order from the Vinnie Mac.
Mm-hmm. If you see him without a shirt, he looks his body does look better, but he looks small, like much smaller. And this is your first time seeing Solo Sikoa, right?
No, I saw him like around when this when the show first started. He came out.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
When they first started the reboot. He's all right.
Yeah. Mackenzie's in the back. She's interviewing Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler talks about Tabasco Champion. Dolph Ziggler, the promo sucked. It was horrible. So stupid. It was stupid.
How it's embarrassing how bad he looked tonight. Considering that he's been around for like 97 years.
Yeah. You know what he reminded me of? Like, because like he's a loser on Raw, right? Mm-hmm. Like he is a loser on Raw. He loses a lot of his matches, right? He's been losing for a while now. And he comes to NXT and he's like right away like a big deal. He's in the main event picture, right? Mm-hmm. It reminded me of when like Marvel Comics bought Malibu Comics and they sent some of their jobber Black Knight characters. Yeah, like Black Knight was in like the Ultraverse
and suddenly was like the leader.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of. It's like nobody's fucking buying this shit. You're having your jobber be like the main event in the other brand. It's like nobody's fucking like buying this shit. Carmelo Hayes is walking around the back. Pete Dunne approaches him, so they're probably going to be feuding next. And we go to our fifth and final match for the NXT title, Santos Escobar versus Bron Breakker. Dolph Ziggler interferes, super kicks Bron in the face. Bron still kicks out. Then Tabasco Champion pulls Dolph Ziggler out. Those two start brawling, and then Bron Breakker hits his Gorilla Press power slam on Santos Escobar for the win to retain the title. This is okay match. It's all right. I really like Santos Escobar. I think this guy's got something going.
Yeah, this match is good. Bron Breakker looks like such a star. They're really going to do Bron Breakker versus Dolph Ziggler at the WrestleMania NXT. That's what they really think is should be the main event.
Dolph Ziggler looked like such a loser on the show.
He hit Bron with the finish. Bron kicked out. And it's like I just think if they do go with Bron versus Dolph at the Mania takeover, it should just be a squash. Be the first match, be a squash.
Yeah.
Just, I don't want to see like Bron Breakker have to fucking fight this guy for 25 minutes.
Yeah. And Dolph, like, when Bron kicked out, he like over exaggerated his like, no. I was just like, dude, what are you, can you like stop?
Man? Wait, like, you know what? Have you noticed whenever like Dolph is the kiss of death to edit, Tyler Breeze, his first few was Dolph and then he went nowhere.
Yeah.
Baron Corbin, Shinsuke, all their first feuds were with Dolph, and then their fucking main event roster time was cursed.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know.
He just has the stench of failure.
How would you fix someone like Dolph Ziggler? Like, what could you, like, I would fire him. He's like, we don't want to fire him. But what could you do to fix him?
I'd make him a manager.
No, dude. We've heard him talk tonight. He can't talk, dude.
I don't know what to... Then I would get rid of him. There's nothing else to do with him. He's damaged. How many years are we supposed to, like, just deal with this guy, like, just being useless?
That's too bad, because he used to be somebody, man. Damn.
Mm-hmm. And when I knew, like, he was, like, just a bag of nothing? When him and Dean Ambrose had his first title defense against Dolph, and I thought, all right, these two are gonna have a great match. And then Dean like pinned him in like 6 minutes, and like didn't even like you could tell Dean like had to look in his face like that match fucking sucked, and just stormed off. I think he's a guy that if he went to Impact or AEW, but I think he'd be like MJF's gopher in AEW. I don't know what. I don't know what you would do with him in AEW, to be honest.
Yeah. Like, when I was, like, sometimes when they have, like, people show up in NXT again, it's kind of like, oh, it's interesting. Like, when they had AJ Styles coming up, right?
Yeah, that sounded, like, fun.
Yeah, and they were like, he's going to have a match against Grayson Waller.
Even Rhino was around there years
ago. Yeah, it's like, oh, shit. I go, oh, shit, holy crap. And then I want to watch it. I felt none of that with Dolph Ziggler. In fact, if anything, I couldn't wait for him to get off the fucking show. Like, I was like,
I was kind of hoping that Vengeance Day would have been Dolph versus Braun Breaker, so we could just get. But no, they really think that's a WrestleMania week match.
Yeah, it's not, man. It's not. Anyways, Vengeance Day happened.
Last year was way better, but I really like Braun and I like a couple of the other guys, and it's not their fault that this show was kind of meh. But it was kind of meh. I get why not a lot of people watch this show.
Yeah, I might be one of the few people who really like this
show. It doesn't really. There's not a lot of excitement behind it. The match quality is not what it was a year ago, and everyone that's good, you're kind of like, well, they'll probably be better on the main roster.
Yeah, I can see that. There are a couple of people that, like, I do like some a lot of these new guys, but that's the only thing that keeps me watching the show is, like, I just like some of the new people. But you're right. The match quality has gone down. There's no excitement. Yeah. Yeah, that's about it. The storylines aren't that good. Match quality went down. There's not a lot of excitement, but I do like a lot of the new people. So that's the only reason why I like to tune in, because I like watching them develop.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was like, oh, we'll do the podcast because it's Vengeance Day and last year was good. And like, thank God Cody happened, because otherwise there wasn't a lot to talk about.
No, there wasn't. You're right. Dude, I am looking forward to tomorrow because I want to see what they're going to say. They have to mention it on Dynamite.
Oh, yeah, I think they will. But I think it'll be like Excalibur. Like, we just want to wish Cody Rhodes the best of luck in all of what he's doing in the future. We want to thank him for everything he's done. And now to the ring with CM Punk and MJF.
Yeah, it's probably going to be something like that. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, I can see Dan Lambert coming. He's like, you're welcome. I chased out Cody and Brandy. They were too scared to fight the Men of the Year and Paige Van Zandt. And then, like, Jade Cargill comes out and goes, I'll fight you, Paige Van Zandt, at Revolution or some shit.
Yeah. Dude, you have to watch that promo. It's so good where he shits all over her. Like, he said some mean things about her. Like, really mean things. It's great.
Well, yeah. Well, that was it. That's the end of an era. We got one more thing to talk about before we go. Steve Austin might be back at WrestleMania. What did you
think? Oh, yeah.
I love the fact any other time this would be the biggest story in the world, but because of Dashing Cody Rhodes, it's not really – I haven't really thought about it. What do you think about that? I'll tell you my thoughts. I want to hear yours first.
Oh, I think – I'm not really interested in it because I don't think it's going to be like an actual match.
I heard he apparently has a ring built in his house. He's been training since August.
Yeah, I don't. I hope if he does have a match with Kevin Owens, if it goes at least 7 minutes, I guess, you know, right? I can't see it going too long.
Well, these are my thoughts. Number one, I don't think this is a good enough storyline for him to come back to.
No, it's not.
I don't think Kevin Owens is a good enough opponent for him to come back to. The only reason they could hang Kevin Owens because of Stunners.
Who would you give him then?
I would give him Seth or Roman. Or Randy. I would give him, or AJ Styles. Or there's a lot of guys. Or,
oh my God. Oh my God. Austin versus AJ Styles. I really want to see that. Oh,
here's
my God.
Here's the other thing I'm thinking. I think when Austin saw, so he gets the ring in August. I think when Austin saw what Sting has been doing with neck problems in his 60s, I think Austin then suddenly thought, like, I could probably come back for a year if I do what Sting's doing. I think what Sting is doing opened up a lot of eyes.
Yeah.
That Sting is over 60, Austin's 57. Conceivably, I would only have Austin come back if it's for more than just this match.
He's going to have to do a lot of tags.
Yeah, but I think that – but I do think that he could – I think he could do singles. I think he could. I think the Sting thing changed a lot of minds and the Edge thing. But I think more so the Sting thing, because Sting looks really good. At this point, Sting is, like, holding his own with Darby and CM Punk. He's not looking like shit. And Sting has been going now for years. Austin has had no wear and tear on his body for almost 20 years. So if they can get Austin back as a character for a few years, I say okay. But if it's just this match, I say I don't want him to waste his legacy. Just come out, stunner Kevin Owens, and leave.
That's what I think is going to happen. I feel like it's going to be like a one-minute match.
I think if Sting didn't do what he did, I'd agree with you. But I think Sting changed a lot of people's minds.
I think it's possible. Yeah, it's possible. You know what that means? Eventually, Undertaker's going to come back too.
Yeah. No, I can see that. But I think – but also, Undertaker never stopped. Austin's had 20 years to heal his body, so.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't think – I wanted Austin to come back for CM Punk or for Cena or for Brock. Like, this is just not – like, it'd be one thing if Kevin Owens was just, like, destroying everyone. He was, like, the top heel of Raw. It's just like, what is storyline? Like, they're having Kevin Owens insult Texas, which I guess is supposed to. But it's like, really? That's why Austin decides to come back after 20 years? Because Kevin Owens is like, I don't like Texas.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I think you're right that it's not the right opponent because I'm not excited at all. But then if I think AJ Styles versus Austin, I'm like, man, I would like to see that, even if it's for like a minute. You know? I would kind of like to see that, you know?
Yeah. Or Austin versus Roman.
Yeah, I guess so. I think that would be all right.
Or Austin versus Cena, I think would be a fun match.
Yeah, that's all right too. Even if it's like for a minute, yeah.
Austin versus Owens.
Yeah, Kevin Owens. It's like, I don't know. It's just not appealing. I can already see what's going to happen.
It's going to be Austin beating the shit out of him for 10 minutes.
Yeah, and I wonder if they're doing it because, like, Kevin Owens is a stunner. Which is like
What they're doing. That's exactly why they're doing it. How fucking bad they are. I don't know. I don't know why Austin would agree. I can only see if Austin agreeing to this is if there's more than just this match.
Or they're giving him a boatload of money.
Yeah, but I think Austin's doing pretty good with money.
Yeah, I don't know. You could always.
But Austin also, because Austin for years, like around 2009, Austin's like, oh yeah, I could wrestle, but it just wouldn't be at the level that I'm used to. So I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. But I could, like, if I could change my whole style and wrestle for like 2 or 3 years. He was saying that in 2009, 2011. And if he didn't come back then, when he could have wrestled CM Punk and fucking, I guess, Edge and Batista and Triple H. Why is he coming back now, 20 years later, unless, like, something made him change? I think Sting made him change his mind.
Yeah, I think it's possible, yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, technically, Austin Kevin Owens is not set in stone yet.
Not set in stone.
Yeah, so hopefully they realize, you know what, maybe Kevin Owens.
I think I do think Austin and Cody, not them wrestling, but the fact that they're both on the show – and I think if you have, I heard a rumor Lita versus Sasha Banks, which I think would be good.
You know what? I would rather watch Austin versus AJ and Edge versus Kevin Owens. I wouldn't be against
those would
Kevin
be good.
Owens versus Edge. Yeah, because Kevin Owens and Edge, they got this whole Canadian thing going on that I would be like, I'm okay with that.
Honestly, I'll tell you, I would rather see Austin go to AEW if I'd see him Punk or MJF.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's more story. There's more of a story there if Austin showed up in AEW and wrestled. I would rather see Austin. I know people would be, what? But I think I'd rather see Austin versus CM Punk. I think CM Punk, so this is my theory. I've always had this theory. I think in the summer of 2011, Vince and CM Punk were like, all right, WrestleMania 30 or WrestleMania 29, it'll be you versus Austin. And the reason why CM Punk wore the Stone Cold shirt on the stage from the pipe bomb was to start the build towards that match. That he's the new Austin and stuff. He said there's a long-term reason. He once said it, he never repeated it. There's a long-term reason why he wore that shirt. And I think they eventually were supposed to get to CM Punk Austin.
Yeah, I can buy that. Too bad it never happened. Too bad.
Too bad. But that's why I would rather see him in AEW. I'd rather see him fight CM Punk.
Yeah.
Well, hey, bro, well, we might be back. Yeah, you want to do Elimination Chamber this weekend?
Saturday? Possibly, yeah.
All right, bro. We'll see you.
What time is it at? It's like
noon. Oh, 11 a.m. or noon.
Oh, okay. I might be able to do that, yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys. Andrew Lee, bro.